Well, what if you could make a difference in someone's eternity? What if something that you said could start someone on the road to discovering God's place in their lives and God's purpose? It might be someone very close to you, or it might be a neighbor or a friend or even a stranger. What if something that you said made a real eternal difference in someone's life? It might be just as simple as a comment you make. Oh, God has given us such a beautiful day today. Or it might be something deeper than that. You never know. If you've flown lately, you've seen this sign. If you see something, say something. And what it means is that if you see something dangerous or if you see something suspicious, tell somebody about it. But I'd like to switch that a little bit for us. And I'd like it to remind us that if we see God at work somewhere, we ought to say something. Just a little comment. What a beautiful sunset God gave us. I'm so grateful that God gave me this family. Something very simple. In fact, it is so simple, I wonder for myself, why don't I do it? Why don't I say when I see God at work? Why don't I say when maybe I see God at work in someone else's life? Well, I think the reason that I don't, and maybe sometimes you don't either, is that we feel like people might think we're weird. We feel like people might make fun of us, maybe. And so we keep to ourselves all of that blessing that we might be for others. Bill Hybels, who is a writer and a preacher, wrote a book called Just Walk Across the Room. And in that book, he challenges people. His challenge is, live as if you actually believe that your parent, your coworker, your neighbor would be better off if they knew God, if they were on the receiving end of God's counsel, wisdom, and guidance. And I think that that begins with asking ourselves, am I better off because I know the Creator? Am I better off because of my relationship with Jesus? Do I live as if I actually believed that someone else would be better off as well? And the truth is, I don't know how I would live this life without Jesus in my life. I don't know how I would face the sorrows that each of us have to face in our lifetime without knowing that God is with me and God ultimately has a plan. I don't know what I would do without the wisdom that Jesus' presence gives me. I don't know how I could be standing before you this morning without God's presence in my life. I don't know how I would get through the things that I have had to walk through in my life without the presence of God. And because I know God's presence in my life, because I know Jesus, this scripture verse from Isaiah, which we heard read earlier, becomes a clear call to me. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God, nor will there be any after me. And when I read that scripture verse as a part of my devotions a couple of weeks ago, it felt like it was written exactly to me. It felt like a reminder to me that I am God's witness. I am the one who needs to stand and say, God is at work here. God is at work there. God is at work over here. It's saying to me, if you see something, say something. If you see God at work, well, then say it. In the book of 1 Peter, the second scripture reading that we heard, Peter gives this advice. He says, always be ready to make your defense, to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. If you see something, say something. If somebody asks you, be prepared to tell them about the hope that is in you. Now, I can't say that I've always been that good at it, and I'm not even that good at it right now. Sometimes I don't have the words. Sometimes I kind of stumble over my words. But I would like to get better at it. How about you? You know, that's what it means to be a disciple who makes other disciples. It means that our faith is contagious and that we know how to talk about it. And you know, it's the church's job to give us those tools to speak about our faith. And I have to confess to you that over my years of ministry, the church has not been very good about that. We've been good about doing good, but we've not been so good about speaking good and about saying why we're doing what we're doing. Now, I have no doubt about the heart of this church. Because if you see a need, you do something. In other words, I think that the underlying motto of this church is, if you see something, do something. And boy, does this church do something. We have ministries all over this community. And all over the world, really. We support Reverend Dan Wilcox in Alaska. We have a sister church in Sierra Leone, East Africa. We send out missionaries to Haiti. This church is drawn to respond when you see a need. And I believe that you care for people's souls, too, as well as their bodies. I believe that you want to help people find love and life in Jesus. I believe that you want to help others find hope and the power to do good in the world as well. And I think we need to teach each other how to do that. I think we need to create spaces here in the church where people can do just what it says in 1 Peter, where we can get ready to make our defense to anybody who asks us. And it might be as simple as just making a little comment about where you see God at work. As we were talking about this message and just speaking a little word of God's presence in our life, Pastor Jenny shared about a place where she worked in Huntington County. And I'm going to ask her to share that, where talking about God and talking about Jesus was just a normal part of everyday conversation.
It really has to be stated that, you know, the fable of the country mouse and the city mouse. Well, I think I've always been a country mouse. And since I went to seminary in Dayton, Ohio, did some inner city ministries, there was a stark contrast that was created. Now, God's people are everywhere. That's not a judgment on folks that may go to a more urban setting of a church. But when I packed up all my belongings and left the seminary to go into my first appointment, the contrast was very apparent. I mean, just driving up from the turnpike on 522, there's a big barn there that says, you're in God's country. I mean, they were bold enough to put it on the side of a barn, that they really were kind of outspoken. That should have been my first clue. But just an example, I would go visit somebody who may have had a mishap in their home. Maybe their toilet leaked or something like that, and there's drywall all taken out all over the place. And I said, oh my, I'm sure you have quite a challenge here. And they would say something like, well, Pastor, you know, there was just a big hurricane down in the coast, and I know I'm so much better off, you know, because I know God's taking care of this. Is something I can deal with. And I know and I trust God that God's going to take care of me and God's going to take care of others too. And it seemed that it just rolled right off the tongue. I mean, I think Debbie's right that Bill Hybels says you have to actually believe the faith that you have to state it in some ways that just come out in an everyday kind of way. And so it was a rural community, so many people were dependent on the weather. And that puts, that's someone's faith kicking in to trust God. If it doesn't rain for a while, well, I guess God knows why we would need the rain or not. But it was all given over to trust, and it was very easily spoken as a contrast from being in the inner city for 3 or 4 years and then coming out and just having people. It just seemed like it was delightful to hear an openness of people's faith.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that speaks also to the fact that the most powerful thing that we can share is our own story. That's why if you see something, say something. If you see something in your own life, find somebody to share that with. Find somebody to say, you know, in my case, I've said over and over again to people, we have 4 adults living in our house, 2 young adults and my husband and I, and I am so grateful that we get along. I'm so thankful to God that God's given us a family that we've learned to live with each other with 4 adults. In the house, and to just learn to have that be a part of your everyday conversations and catch the opportunity to just say a word. I was, as some of you know, I walk in the morning, and this is my 7th year here, and I'm really a creature of habit. And so I walk down Valley Road and up Beinauer and out Cameron and turn around and come back. And so I have met people along the way. I wave to everybody, and sometimes someone will stop in the car and say hello and speak to me for a minute. But lots of times I don't know the names of the people I'm talking to. So I've been doing this for 7 years, and there's a guy on Cameron Street that I've been waving to, and sometimes we talk about his beautiful flowers or, you know, something that's happening in his life. But just this week, He said to me, and I didn't know he knew who I was, so it reminds me to be careful about what I say. And he said to me, you're the pastor of that church down there, huh? And I said, yeah. And he said, what are you doing with all that dirt down there? Are you making the cemetery bigger? And I said, no, we're not making the cemetery bigger. I said, we really have a commitment to allow the community to use our grounds, and that's a new lacrosse field or athletic field that can be used, and we're finally finished with it, and we talked about the dirt pile a little bit. As we were talking, he said, well, I've been here for 50 years, and, you know, I used to walk down there when this side of Beinauer was a dirt path. It wasn't even a road, and he was telling me about that, and I said, oh, and I said, and where do you go to church? And he stopped for a minute, and he looked at me, and he said, well, I used to go to church before I moved here. That was 50 years ago. And he told me where he used to go, and it was a United Methodist Church. And I said, well, have you ever visited us? And he said, well, I when we first moved here, I did. I said, well, you know, our doors are always open. And you'd be welcome to visit again. And that's all I got the chance to say. But it took 7 years of talking to him and waving at him to find an opportunity to be able to do that. And that's okay. Because sometimes after a long time, God opens up an opportunity. In 1 Peter, those verses from 1 Peter that we read, the scripture tells us to be always ready to make your defense to anyone. But it continues, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Not judging, but gently speaking to someone, being reverent enough to wait until they are ready to hear. And you know, sometimes after just dropping those little words and letting God's presence be a part of your conversation, sometimes you'll get the great privilege of having a deep conversation with someone and really telling them your heart, really sharing with them your deep witness. My witness, when I get the chance to do that, comes from the book of Acts. And it seems that the Apostle Paul's words, as he was sharing what happened in his life, echo my life. And he talks, he begins his story about how, now I'm not a part of this part of the story, but he begins his story by saying that he was persecuting the church, that he was trying to stamp out the Christian church. And then something happened. He heard a voice, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord Jesus answered, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Get up and stand on your feet." And this is the part that I really identify with. "For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and testify to the things in which you have seen me." I've appointed you when you see something to say something, and to those in which I will appear to you, to open people's eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. An eternal difference in someone's life. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins, peace in their life, and a place among those who are made holy by faith in me. Sometime you may get the chance to help someone understand that the light is stronger than the darkness. That God draws us here to be among God's people and to learn to live in the light. I had that opportunity a couple of weeks ago. Some of you know that I had a vacation weekend, and I was away with my extended family at a cabin in northern Pennsylvania. And as I was sitting and having a conversation with my nephew, he began to share that he's worried about the world the way it is, and that he's disturbed by it, and he has a little 3-year-old girl, and he's worried about the world that she would inherit, and he sees all this darkness. And I had the chance to listen to that, and then to be able to say to him, "You know, I believe that the light is stronger than the darkness. I believe that God is still at work in this world, and although I can't do everything, I can do something. And that every time I share something with someone, every time I offer a kindness, every time I listen to someone with respect who is different than I am, has a different opinion than I do, every time I do that, I'm adding to the light. I can't do everything, but I can do something." And I said to him, "And so can you." And I can't tell you what a great privilege that was to get the chance to share that with someone who I love. And it was only because, partly because I was preparing this message, and I realized that God was offering me an opportunity at that moment, a great gift, to perhaps be able to make a difference in somebody's eternity. And so I have two challenges for you this morning. I think they're going to be on the screen. If you are wondering what is missing in your life, if you are wondering how your faith could deepen, if maybe you need to renew your commitment and your relationship with Jesus, then seek out somebody who you respect and whose faith you respect, and speak to them and hear what they have to say and hear what God might be saying to you through them. And on the other hand, if you are a committed follower of Jesus, say something at least once this week. I challenge you. Find an opportunity at least one time in the week to come to see something and say something about God's presence and God's work in this world. In fact, in your bulletin this morning, there is a prayer that I challenge you to say each day. It's on the top of the second page of the inside of your bulletin, and it's going to be on the screen as well. And I challenge you to just say this prayer once a day, and I bet that you'll find an opportunity in some way to see something and say something. So as we think about that, let's just say this prayer together. Jesus, help me to take advantage of the opportunities you will present to me to share the hope that is in me. And help me to share it with gentleness and reverence for the person I am speaking to. Amen. And then when you get that chance, I would love to hear about it. I would love if you would share with either Pastor Jenny or I the opportunity that God gave you and what you did with that opportunity. May you be blessed as you do.